The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. This is Dr. Zudi Jasser on the Blaze Radio Network.
This is Dr. Zudi Jasser. Welcome back to Reform This on the Blaze Radio Network. We're talking this week about President Trump's statement, simple statement, that the United States was going to finally follow through with all of its legislation it's passed since 1995 and have a president that was no longer going to grant waivers, though, incidentally, he did sign the waiver today after the statement he made, but he signed it because it's going to take 3 to 4 years before that embassy is moved officially. But having said that, for years, we've had presidents of both parties that have said that, well, ultimately, we're going to call Jerusalem the capital of Israel, but we're not going to agree with the Israelis themselves. By the way, if you disagree with this move, what percent do you think, if you polled Israeli citizens, what percent do you think agree with the fact that America and all European nations and the free world should not recognize Jerusalem as their capital? That, you know what, the citizens of Israel want the rest of the world to choose their own capital of their country. That's an absurd notion. It's absurd. So regardless of, you may disagree with Jerusalem belonging to Israel. You may disagree. I certainly don't. I think it's obviously been part of Israel. But it is beyond incredulous that any external countries would recognize a country, the state of Israel, and then say, oh, by the way, we don't like the city that you claim to be the capital because we're afraid that the Arab world and the Muslims will be upset. And, you know, there is no greater infantilization of Muslims than that. There's nothing better, I think, than to finally treat Muslims, treat the Arab world, quarter of the world's population, which are Muslim, treat them as adults. If they react violently, we'll condemn that. But you can't continue to give them this, even beyond the heckler's veto, the militant Islamist veto, of what's the right thing to say and then do. So it should not even be part of the negotiations to admit the obvious. Admit the obvious, which is a recognition that Israel can choose its own capital where it has its seat of government and have other countries recognize that as the capital. Should Saudi Arabia be able to tell the United States that, well, we don't like the history of Washington, D.C., so therefore we want Philadelphia to be your capital? We won't recognize. We want our embassy to be in Philadelphia. We don't want it in Washington. Are you serious? That's been the equation. And in the meantime now, all the Hamas operatives, the Hanan Ashrawis and others are getting on television now, Al Jazeera, every Middle Eastern tin pot dictator is getting on saying, and their ministers are saying that this is going to be the beginning and the end of the peace process. It's dead on arrival. And now there's going to be acts of terror and violence. It's exactly what the militants did after the Danish cartoons, and that wasn't even statement of the obvious. This is statement of the obvious, and then every president, for unknown reasons, and the bizarre thing is to see the responses from anchors on CNN saying, well, now we've put national security at risk. This is completely brazen and inappropriate. You have Kerr having its typical Hamas-oriented press conference, ridiculing the decision to state the obvious. You have folks like Linda Sarsour making posts saying that this is not my president and I, as a United States citizen, reject my government's recognition of another state's capital. It's obvious that Sarsour is a Hamas apologist. Her recent panel on so-called anti-Semitism ended up being a laboratory of anti-Semitism in which she actually apologized for Louis Farrakhan, one of the country's most prolifically heinous anti-Semites. This is the toxicity that the left is spewing as President Trump, for all his faults and whatever you might disagree with him about, has been one of the first presidents in now almost three decades that, in over two decades rather, that has decided to follow through with what should have been American policy from the beginning to allow us to now, I believe, this will push the peace process. Because as Reagan intimated, Peace comes through strength. Peace comes through stating the rational, stating the obvious, and moving forward. That they either get on the train of peace, begin to be rational, negotiate the things that are up for negotiation rationally, and dispense with the things that are not up for negotiation. How can Jerusalem status be up for negotiation when the seat of the government of Israel is in the west side of Jerusalem? Now, the east side of Jerusalem, that's part of negotiations, absolutely. I get that. We can talk about what that should be, but that's part of the negotiation process, and that's not what I want to do. And I'll remind you, what was almost more amazing than the United States declaring it, Czechoslovakia recognized Jerusalem now as the capital of Israel, reminiscent of what history books tell us happened in 1948. Now countries will slowly come in with America's lead and recognize the obvious. There's little downside. There's no big change in policy happening. We're just worried about a bunch of children with guns and the threat of violence reacting. And that's not how rational, free-thinking leaders react. So don't exaggerate. I talked last time about the importance. You know, when I visited Israel, we went to the Knesset, we went to various neighborhoods in Jerusalem, went to the wall, went to the Masjid al-Aqsa. And as I told you last time I was there, I was struck by the spiritual depth of the three faiths so close to one another. Question of the intense nature of the area cannot be questioned. It is truly, historically, arguably one of the most sensitive areas for the three major religions in the planet. And you can feel it when you're there. But you feel the communal nature, you feel the commonality. But why is it? Why is it that Jews should fear for their safety when they go to the Muslim side? Why is it that Jews, even if they appear to be praying, or Christians appear to be praying on the platform of Al-Aqsa, in the area between the two mosques there, mosque buildings of Al-Aqsa, are then told to stop from personal prayer if they appear to be leaning forward in prayer because it offends the Muslims? While I've never heard of the Jewish community offended by Muslims praying near the Wailing Wall, or Christians at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre or elsewhere upset if Muslims prayed near their profoundly holy sites. So this is the issue. Are Muslims afraid of violence acted upon them when they go to the Wailing Wall or to the Christian sites? Why is it that the violence is only feared on one side? And why is it that acts of rationality, recognizing the reality, which has been American policy for decades upon decades, supposed to be met with horror that we are doing something unprecedented, putting national security at rest, when in fact all we're doing is treating the Palestinians and the Arab Muslim world as adults? We're treating them as rational adults. So enough with the waivers. Move on. Get to the peace table with dealing with truly is on the peace table, truly what are the questions that need to be addressed, and not wasting our time with nonsensical issues only made issues because of the threat of violence by militant Islamists from Hamas on down.
Reform This with Dr. Zudi Jasser. Reaching the fault lines of today. The Blaze Radio Network.